extended your welcome, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good, good to get together. So thank you for your Sunday very, very much. There's an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. It's a lesson I gave about 6 months ago, and so someone asked if I would say something along those same lines again, and of course I said yes. I'm glad to say something I already said. But there's the outline in your bulletin this morning. I'd like to follow along. So I titled it this time with, what does God do with our sins? Now we bring our sins to Him. What does He do with them? You know, the Bible says in Romans 3, verse 10, there's none righteous. Nope. Not one. None of us can come to God and say at any time, God, I know You're pleased with everything I've said and everything I've done. No, I can't do that. In Romans 3, verse 23, it just says, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We've missed the mark. So when I bring my sins to God, I wonder, well, God, what are You going to do with them? I know what happens when I bring my sins to brethren. They repeat them. But what does God do with our sins? There's a song in our book, hymn number 917. Just the first stanza of the song, and it's titled, I Bring My Sins to Thee. So here's the title in the first stanza. I bring my sins to Thee, the sins I cannot... Oh, wow. Sometimes I've heard people say, I have too many sins. I've been sinning for too long a time. Or my sins are too horrible. I don't think God can forgive me of my sins. I think, oh, wait a minute. Yes, he can. So even the hymn writer grasps that illustration. It says, the sins I cannot count, that all my sins, all of them, the ones that are too many, that I've committed too long and are too horrible, all of them, that all of my sins may cleansed be in Thy once open fount. I bring them, Savior, all to Thee. The burden is too great for me. The burden is too great for me. So our lesson this morning is, what does God do with our sins when we bring them? 10 illustrations. 10 illustrations. At least there's 10 that I've found. There may be more. Let's take a look at each one in turn. I won't be long on each one. But the first one in Psalm 32, verse 1. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Or as Dennis read in his translation, there's joy. There's joy in having our sins forgiven. By forgiven. Think about what does that mean? Bible definition of forgiven means if you're forgiven of your sins, those sins are sent away. If you're forgiven, Bible definition is there's the removal of punishments that's due to your sinful action. The punishment's taken away. It means that we've been released from the penalty of our sins. There's a joy or a blessing in having our sins forgiven. So in a couple other verses, these are not in your notes, so you want to write them in. The Psalm 103, verse 2, says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. Who, meaning God, who forgive all your iniquities. All of them? Yeah. All of them. In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, you remember the story of the woman in Simon's house, and Jesus is there. And she washes Jesus' feet with her tears and dries His feet with her hair. And Jesus says to her, or to Simon, in Luke 7, verse 47, says, I say to you, and Jesus says to Simon, her, meaning this woman, her sins, and then He says, which are many? Many? Yeah. He says, are forgiven. They're forgiven. In verse 48, He said to her, your sins are forgiven. Oh, she probably had many sins. Well, He said that in the text. Maybe she'd been sinning for a long time. Maybe the sins were horrible. Can her sins be forgiven? Jesus said, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. The penalty is taken away. Forgiven. So God, what do you do with my sins? He said, I forgive them. Thank you. They're taken away. Taken away. A second illustration in the same verse. In Psalm 32, verse 1. So after the psalmist says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now he says, whose sin is covered. Forgive them. God, what are you going to do with my sins? I'm going to forgive them. That means my sins are hidden. God says, Brian, your sins are buried. Your sins are completely overlaid. Your sins are covered. In other words, it means the idea to blindfold and not see. Your sins are covered. In Psalm 85, verse 2, the same words are used. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, covered all their sins. Both words. Forgiven. Take away the penalty. Covered. Here. Thank you, God. Thank you. A third illustration of what God, what do you do with my sins? When I bring them to you. It's in Psalm 25, verse 11. Psalmist says, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. My sins are too horrible. They're great. Not great in that third. Great. But they're great. They're horrible. The word pardon. Again, like along the same lines of the word forgiven. Means to release from penalty. Bible definition of pardon. Extender without exacting a penalty. If God pardons your sins, it means the guilty does not pay the debt that he's owed. We're pardoned. And the word is used again in Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Micah says, who is the God like unto you who pardons iniquity? Pardons it. When we offend someone, sometimes we say, pardon me. Pardon me. Meaning, don't exact revenge on me. In other words, pardon me for what I just did to you. In other words, let me go. Let not the infraction be held against me. Pardon me. Release me from the penalty. For example, if I were sitting in the middle of a pew and there are people on both sides and I was getting up to leave and trying to get out, I stepped on one of the toes of the person sitting there and I turned around and said, pardon me. What I'm asking for is don't exact revenge. Don't pardon me. Don't do to me what I just did to you. Pardon me. And I want that because I'm afraid of they did to me what I just did to them, they'd probably step on my toes a little bit harder. They would probably exact revenge and more. So pardon me. So what happens when we bring our sins to God? Pardon me. Don't treat me the way I just treated you. Pardon me. And the psalmist says, for thy name's sake, pardon my iniquity. It's great. Pardon me. So I say, God, I've sinned. Pardon me. And he does. He does. Number four is in Psalm 103 in our text, verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12. Psalmist says, for as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. There's an illustration. When you say something is removed, it means it's gone. It's not here anymore. If something's removed, it's been taken away. If I ask you to remove that book, take it away. I don't want it here anymore. Remove that. So the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins. So now the psalmist gives us a visual distance of God's removal, as far as the east is from the west. Wonder why God didn't say as far as the north is from the south. He said from the east to the west. You see, the illustration is if you start walking north and you keep walking till you reach the North Pole and you're there, you take one more step in any direction, you're going south. You still go down to the South Pole and you get to the pole, you take a step in any direction, you're going north. You see, north and south meet at the poles. It's a distance of 12,403 miles. So if the psalmist said God removes your sins as far as the north is from the south, I would know, well, God, you only took my sins, removed my sins 12,403 miles. But he said, no, I'm going to remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. So now you go down to the equator. Start walking east, and you walk and you go all the way around the globe, and you come back to your starting point. You can still walk east. Take one more step, and you're still going east. No matter how many times you go around the globe, you're going east. You may meet someone coming west, but east and the west don't stop. They still keep going. North and south, they meet at the poles. But the illustration is, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. In other words, God says, they're gone. They're not there anymore. There's no finish line. Your sins are removed beyond measure. Not 12,403 miles. But those, your sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. Number five is in Job chapter 14, verse 17. Job says, my transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover my iniquity. Oh. So now, God says the illustration is that God takes our sins and he puts them in a bag, and they are sealed, and they're covered by God. That's pretty good. God, what'd you do with my sins? Right, I put them in a bag. Sealed it. That's better than any double locked Ziploc bag. Not there anymore. Thank you, God. Thank you. Number 6, 8, verse 17. Isaiah says, you've lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. You've cast all my sins behind me. You ever hear the phrase, out of sight, out of mind? Heard that before. So I might ask God again, God, what'd you do with my sins? His reply is, what sins? I don't see your sins. Let's take, these were the sins. God puts them behind his back. Right? I don't see any sins. God, what'd you do with my sins? I don't see any sin. I remember when our grandkids, even my granddaughter, about 3 years old, and sometimes I might have one of her stuffed animals and just to kind of have it put it up, put it behind my back. And I say, where's Monroe, where's your stuffed animal? And she said, it's behind you, Papa. And I'll turn like this. I say, I don't see it, Monroe. She says, no, no, Papa, behind you. Okay. No, it's your point there, there. And I say, where? God takes our sins back no matter which way he turns. Our sins are always behind his back. They stay behind his back. No matter which way he turns, they're gone. My sins behind his back. Number 7, Isaiah 43, verse 25. Isaiah said, I, or referred to God, I, even I, am he that blots out thy transgressions for my name's sake. Remember, blots out. You blot something out means it to rub or wipe off the writing. You've erased it. But you erased it so much that it's gone without a trace. You've dacted it. You've blotted it out. Can't be seen. It means that God no longer keeps a record or remembrance of our transgressions. It's blotted out. Psalm 51, verse 9. Dennis made reference to this chapter in it before his reading. Psalm 51, verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my transgressions. Blot out my transgressions. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter told his audience to repent and be converted that your sins might be blotted, erased, gone. They're not there anymore. Blotted out. Thank you, God. So, God, what are you going to do with my sins? I'm going to block them out, right? Can't see them. Number 8 is in Isaiah, also Isaiah, in Isaiah 43, verse 25. He adds it after he blots them out. He says, and will remember thy sins no more. Not remember your sins. Now, it's not that God has a bad memory. It's that when he forgives, he chooses to not remember. God makes a choice. When I forgive your sins and all these other things, I make a choice that I'm not going to remember them. So you bring your sins up to God that God's already forgiven. And God, if you could hear him, God would say to you, now, Brian, I distinctly remember that I've forgiven that sin. Why are you bringing that up to me again? I distinctly remember that I've forgiven that or forgotten that. Right? I blotted it out of my memory. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says, for I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, I may remember what I've done, and I do. But once I've prayed for that forgiveness, I don't need to ask God anymore. Even though it might be still on my mind months and years later. Oh, I remember what I did back then, and I'm not going to pray, God, forgive me. I'm going to say, God, thank you for your forgiveness. I'm not going to bring that back up to God. It's already out of his memory. He's forgotten it. It's in a bag. It's sealed. It's covered. It's forgiven. It's pardoned. You don't need to keep bringing your sins up to God. He's forgiven it. Out of his memory. I will remember your iniquities no more. Like I said in the beginning, his breath might remember it. What you've done. But not God. They're gone. Then number 9. In Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Micah asked the question, who is a God like you? Right. Who is a God like you? Who pardons iniquity, who delights in mercy, has compassion on us, and will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. God, what'd you do with my sins? Well, I cast them into the depths of the sea. You've heard it said, 2/3 of the earth is covered by water. The deepest places on earth are under the sea. God doesn't just take our sins and put them out to sea. But then they could be washed back up. The waves could bring them back. None could remember them. No. God doesn't just put them out to sea a little bit where low tide may expose them. No. God, what'd you do with my sins? I cast them of the sea. The deepest place in the sea is in the Southwest Pacific Ocean. It's called the Mariana Trench or the Challenger Deep. That Mariana Trench is not just a little hole. It's 1,500 miles long and 45 miles wide. The deepest part of this Mariana Trench is 6.8 miles. Now that's about 36,000 feet deep. 36,000 feet deep. Mount Everest is only 29,000 feet tall. That means the Mariana Trench is a mile deeper than Mount Everest is tall. And God says, I will take your sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. The deepest part. They're not going to be like a cork where you sometimes hold under a little bit of water and let go and whoop, pop back up. It's 7 miles deep. It's not, our sins are not coming back up. Thank you, God. Thank you. The last one I have, number 10, is Matthew chapter 26, verse 27, where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And after the bread, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it to them, said, drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. God, what did you do with my sins? Oh, I remitted them. Thank you. The word remission or remit means a dismissal. It means the passing by of a debt. It's been paid. It means that I've been released, been forgiven. And all of these other words that you see in your notes. You know, the same, there was another illustration. 50 days after the Passover when Jesus was crucified and buried and resurrected. 50 days later, 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father. 50 days later is the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days. And Peter and the disciples, Jesus told him, you stay in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. And I want repentance and remission of sins. This is in Luke chapter 24. Jesus said, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. But you stay in the city till you receive power from on high. 10 days later, in Acts chapter 2, they're in the city of Jerusalem. They receive power from on high. Peter stands up with the 11, and he preaches a gospel sermon to them. And when he reaches a point in his sermon in verse 36, he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And the Bible says when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Meaning they fell their hands up and said, we're guilty of murdering the Messiah. We're convinced we crucified the Christ. So he said when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And they cried out. And Peter told them what they should do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. They're dismissed. They're passed away. When you're baptized, when you repent and are baptized. And he said also, you for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, the Bible says he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. Wait, that's what he just said. I want remission of sins. We want it in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's right. Those that gladly received that message or that word, they were baptized. Lord added, and they were added to them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostle teaching of the bread and cares. And in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, it says, Lord added daily to those that were to the church, those that were being saved. Ah, salvation? Remittance of sins? Forgiveness? Fellowship with one another? Added to the church by God. God, what did you do with my sins? What did you do with them? Oh, forgave them. Covered them up. Pardoned. Removed. Sealed them. They're behind my back. I blotted them out. I don't remember. God chooses to not remember. I cast them into the depths of the sea, and I remitted them. The penalty's been paid. You don't have to pay that. He saved us. We're saved.
when we repent and are baptized for the remission, the remittance of our sins. That's the invitation that we extend at the close of every lesson. Not a member of the New Testament church, your sins have not been taken to God His way, then that's what we want you to do. The invitation is simply this. A simple plan or procedure. Number one, I want you to hear the good news that we just preached. That God so loved the world, He gave a Son. I want to hear that message. Then second, you know, Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So after you heard the good news that God so loved the world, He sent a Son, believe it. It's the second step. Believe the good news message. Jesus Himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. So have I heard that good news message? Oh, I believe it. I believe it. That God so loved the world He sent His Son. Then number three, I want to repent of my sins. Jesus said it. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. I'm going to turn my life around. Turn it toward God. Then number four, I want to confess my faith. God already knows I'm a sinner. That's why I came. So I'm going to confess my faith, what I believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. Philip preached unto him a Jesus message. And he reaches a point in the sermon, he stops the sermon and says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he made that confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, he commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. And number five, they were baptized. Philip and Ethiopian both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. He came both came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. You hear me say it so often, salvation is always an occasion of joy. Remember the opening text that Dennis read to us? Blessed or joyous is he whose transgression or sins are covered. There's a blessing in forgiveness, a joy, and that can be yours and mine. If we haven't obeyed the gospel already, you have not repented and been baptized, you have that opportunity this morning. Let's stand together and we'll sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation to reflect on your relationship. If you want to be repented, be baptized, you're very welcome to do so. We can accomplish it immediately. Just simply let your request be known while we're singing this song by coming and having a seat on the front.